B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And Matt Barnes home with the 0-1 pitch to Mejia. Swung on and missed. It gets away. Here comes the runner. The shove is safe, and that is the ball game.
I'm telling you, it's a ghost house in the ninth inning down there.
Wow.
Tampa Bay wins it despite getting two hits in the game on a swing and a miss. It got away from Vasquez far enough. Margot came charging home. And it's 1-0 Tampa Bay in the end.
What a way to lose a game. I mean, seriously. Man. I mean, this guy is a strikeout waiting to happen, but you throw a curveball. He swings and misses. Did he not?
Yes.
Two strikes on the batter. Gist gets away. Guy with good speed, Margot, scores. That's the worst thing. That's the nightmare of this.
All right, welcome in, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beetle and Zoe. No Beetle, no Zoe. Getaway day here on this Friday. It's a finish strong Friday, but they got us anyway here. It's me, Christian Arcand, alongside Tim McCone. And that's the way it ended last night in Tampa. Red Sox lose to the Rays 1-0. They lose their spot at the top of the American League East. And I got to tell you, that was a special kind of game last night, McCone. That was one of those games where you're sort of watching along and thinking, okay, like the pitching's pretty good. You know, you've had all this talk about spider tech. No one can pitch anymore. No one can grip the ball. No one knows where it's going. No one knows this. No one knows that. Nick Pivetta pitched well. Nick Pivetta had a no-hitter going through 6 1/3 innings, or was it 6 2/3 innings, before he got pulled. And you know what annoys me about baseball now? One big thing that annoys me, and it should annoy you too out there, all you Red Sox fans, baseball fans, if there's any of you left. Guy's got a no-hitter going. He gets to 100 pitches. And Alex Cora, who I never mistook for one of these analytics slave to the numbers, you know, nerd guy. Like, I don't consider him one of those people. Pulls him out right at 100 pitches in the middle of a freaking no-hitter. Now, did it end up really mattering? No, because at the end of the game, as you just heard there, they score on a wild pitch. They got two hits the whole game. One of them was a double, and then he got knocked over. And then Margot comes home on a wild pitch from Matt Barnes, which bounced off the glove of Christian Vasquez. Vasquez had a horrible night last night. Bad base running error and a ball that he really should have been able to stop. I mean, listen, Barnes spiked that curveball, no question about it. But it wasn't like it went way off to the side. It wasn't like it was way out of the batter's box. It was right there. And Vasquez didn't get the glove down in time, bounced off his glove, bounced away, and that was the way that game ended. Red Sox lose 1-0. They're no longer in first place, and they'll try and pick that up as they open up a weekend series with the Yankees starting tonight at Fenway Park. But I don't know. I mean, you finally think, all right, this team's finally getting somewhere here after another terrible start from Garrett Richards, and it was a brutal one, and we'll get to Garrett Richards. Don't you worry. And everything that he had to say. But you get a young kid in there in Pivetta who's had a pretty good year, not a great one, but certainly a guy that I think in this rotation anyway has been one of the few bright spots. There hasn't been a lot of those. Eddie Rodriguez is having a bad year. Evaldi's been spotty. Martin Perez has been kind of up and down. It's hard to even really judge any of these pitchers right now. Like, yeah, Martin Perez had that nice month, and then suddenly he couldn't locate his pitches anymore. Funny how that keeps working now that they're cracking down on all this stuff. Garrett Richards, I mean, his career is over as far as he's concerned. 9.5 years I've been pitching the same way. Now I don't know what to do anymore.
It's like, psychologically not in a great place. Yeah,
okay. No. Okay, Garrett. That's not exactly the tough bulldog mentality you want from one of your starting pitchers. Rodriguez has been bad all year. I mentioned him. You know, and like Pivetta has been kind of, he hasn't been your stopper or anything like that, but he's a young kid and he's been pitching well, and he pitched great last night. He had a no-hitter going, which I tried to spoil on the program, as we all are wont to do on the Adam Jones Show. We don't do that here because our game's on from 10 to 2 generally. But, yeah, he was dealing, and then he has to come out. Now, should he have finished the game? That's kind of a different topic, I think. Like, it was still the sixth inning or the seventh inning, whatever it was. And, yeah, maybe once you get up to 115, 120 pitches, then you pull the guy out of the game. And I understand it's 0-0, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to give up the lead or anything like that. But it's a no-hitter. Can you let the guy finish the inning in the middle of a no-hitter? Can we do that? Is that too much to ask Tyler Milliken, wherever you are? Like, is it too much to ask when a guy is not allowed one hit? He had a couple of walks, so it wasn't a perfect game. But if a guy hasn't allowed one single solitary freaking hit, can you just let him finish, or at least finish the inning? Is that asking too much? Is that really something that baseball fans have to demand these days? Especially this year when everyone's throwing no-hitters every couple weeks, which, again, ironically, stopped as soon as they started looking for all this spider tech. But that annoyed me. The way the game ended was obviously annoying, too, losing on a wild pitch when you've only given up two hits. Now they're not in first place anymore. That kind of sucks, too. But the no-hitter thing, that really has just been grinding me up all day.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on that, too, because, you look at Major League Baseball and all the problems that we talk about that the sport has in general. I think this is kind of one of the bigger issues that they have right now. And because, honestly, are they right to take a pitcher out at 100 pitches? Probably long-term health, they are. But in terms of excitement, when you play 162 games, a random game against the Rays, and I know this is a big series, but when you've got someone going for a no-hitter, that kind of forces you to tune in. As a fan, you're engaged. It's sports entertainment, right? So that's what you like to see. And in a situation like this where a guy has a no-hitter, like you said, and because they get to 100 pitches, you take him out after 6 2/3, yeah, it's frustrating as a fan not to see that kind of thing, because that's what you tune in for. And I go back to Chris Sale, I think it was 2018, and I looked it up. He was going for 21 strikeouts. He had, 17, I think, after 7 innings, and they pulled him. And so you didn't get to see history, or at least him try to go for history in that situation too. And again, that's a random game against the Rockies, and I think it was like May of 2018. Why else would I care about that game other than Chris Sale going for history? Right. And you go back and look at it, and when Clemens strikes out 20, his pitch count was 138. I mean, so it's changed, and it's one of the issues that I think Major League Baseball has. And you just look at sports as a whole. I think two of the biggest issues that these leagues have, number one, I think the NBA, it's guys sitting out and resting, right? Load management. Mm-hmm. Again, not emphasizing regular season games. And this, with the pitch counts and not going after history like this, is another issue I think Major League Baseball has, because it just de-emphasizes regular season games. And if you're a sports league as a whole, whether it's Major League Baseball or the NBA, you kind of have to figure out how to, you know, incentivize people to tune in and care about these regular season games more than what they normally would. And I think last night, to your point, was kind of a perfect example of it.
Yeah. Seventh inning rolls around. Pavetta's out there. No hits have been allowed. He gets Arozarena to fly out to center. Meadows then gets the first. There was a fielding error at first base by Michael Chavis. It was a grounder right to him, and he bobbles it. I think Edwin Diaz comes up next. He grounds out to shortstop. Meadows goes to second. And then Manuel Margot comes in to hit for Choi. And I guess it was the lefty-righty matchup or something, and Cora didn't like it, so he brings in Josh Taylor, he walks Margot, and then he gets Wendell to fly out to left. And they get out of the jam, and it's not like it ended up costing him big in that particular spot. But you can't let him go one more batter. You can't let him go one more batter with a runner on second. Like, I understand there's a runner on second, but he shouldn't have been there. It was because of an error. It was an unearned runner. So, like, give him a chance. Let him do it. And I understand the main thing when it comes to that, comes to pulling the guy, even if there's a no-hitter going, is they don't want to see him go three times through the order, because that third time through the order, you know, that's when they start hitting you. That's when they start figuring you out, or whatever it is. But he was throwing a no-hitter. They hadn't figured him out. And how often have you seen that from a Red Sox pitcher lately? Certainly since they started cracking down on spider tech, these Red Sox pitchers are lost. They're out there. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to throw. Their whole identity, their whole life is flashing before their eyes. Garrett Richards, they don't know anything. And you finally get a good pitching performance, like a solid start, and you yank the guy after exactly 100 pitches in 6 2/3 innings. I'd have been okay if they brought somebody else out for the eighth, but can you let him finish the inning? And really, can you let him finish the inning and then go into the eighth, too, and see if he, you know, can at least get one or two outs in that eighth inning? Like, I wouldn't have bothered me either. But right at 100, something about that just annoyed me. And, you know, after the game, Cora, well, it was a no-brainer to take out Pavetta. And Pavetta said, well, I didn't want to come out. But, you know, if Alex says I got to come out, I guess I got to come out. A no-brainer? Really? That's what it's come to. It's a no-brainer from, again, Alex Cora, who's not Mr. Math Nerd. Like, he's not that guy. I don't think he was. Didn't used to be. He says it's a no-brainer to take a guy out in the middle of a no-hitter. I just, that really annoys me. It really does. And I'm not saying Nick Pivetta should have stomped around on the mound and, you know, thrown a temper tantrum because they were taking him out. He's a young pitcher, and Cora's a well-respected manager. And listen, it was a good start, and he should be happy by his start. But that bothered me. It did. And the whole game bothered me, really. I mean, what are the Red Sox doing? They can't hit the ball last night. They're not able to make any contact against Michael Wacha, who, by the way, I didn't even realize was still in the league. Michael Wacha, I remember him like 8 years ago with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Him and Wainwright, those guys were nasty back then. They won a World Series, those two guys. Wacha's still kicking around, I guess. He's over in Tampa. I was surprised to see him. And he pitched well, too. Both starters had no hitters going last night.
Yeah, Wacha was going to the fifth, I think,
into the fifth inning, and you had Pivetta there go all the way to the sixth. They had a combined no-hitter going and finally got broken up in the eighth inning, I believe. It was Kevin Kiermaier who had a big double, and then Ottavino comes in, gets the next two outs, and then in the ninth inning, I just told you about it, but Margot had the single. Wendell gets intentionally walked. They strike out Mejia, but as he's striking out, Margot scores on the wild pitch. And that's it. They lose 1-0. And listen, it's not the end of the world. It's one game. The Red Sox are still having a fine season. They're still 13 games over 500. And I'm not saying that the sky is falling.
No, frustrating night, though.
Frustrating night. Really an all-around frustrating night. Not just the Red Sox. Red Sox were frustrating, and we'll get more into them in just a second. But what happened last night in Montreal? Oh, God. Red Sox lose 1-0 on a wild pitch, and not 10 minutes later... I'm sitting here watching the Montreal Canadiens shake hands with the Vegas Golden Knights as they go on to the Stanley Cup final. The Montreal Canadiens, who unbelievably, and I really mean this, unbelievably, there are people in this building rooting for.
Big win for Jim Murray last night.
I'm not even going to be able to look him in the eyes when the crossover comes here. He's probably going to be wearing, like, you know, a Rocket Richard jersey or something like that, walking in here strutting around. I won't even be able to look at him. The Montreal Canadiens, really? Like that? Is there nothing sacred? Is there no line in the sand anywhere? Is there no line you won't cross? Like, you know the term shock jock gets thrown around a lot? And I'm not saying Murray's a shock jock, but I was legitimately shocked when I heard that he was rooting for Montreal. That shocked me. Like, nothing shocks me in sports anymore. You know, maybe like a wild story like Aaron Hernandez or something. That's shocking. But like, for the most part, sports, rooting for teams, you can't really shock me. I was like...
You gasped when you heard that? Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens.
It's been quite a postseason. Is Hawks doing well in the Eastern Conference Finals right now? And then he's got the Canadiens in the Stanley Cup Final.
Right. And his Buccaneers, of course, won the Super Bowl.
What a run.
But you know what? The Buccaneers, I didn't care about that. Root for the Buccaneer. I was great. I really enjoyed it.
I was on the Bucs bandwagon.
Whole Bucs thing. Fire the cannons. Like, that was cool. Rooting for Montreal? You're rooting for that? Like, you're rooting for the Montreal Canadiens. And I don't even like his reasoning. He's like, well, I really like their brand of hockey. Like, do you like their brand of hockey, the Montreal Canadiens brand of hockey? It's basically just dump and chase. It's the same thing the Devils did for like 10 years back in the 90s with, you know, Kevin Stevens just dumping it in. And you got Brodeur there stopping everything. That's basically what's happening. Carey Price is Brodeur, and they're dumping everything in there and getting cheap goals. And, you know, they don't even have like a cool Patrick Elias type of guy like they did back then. It's just the Canadiens, just Montreal, Brendan Gallagher and the rest of those guys. And yeah, listen, great series. They knocked off a real team. You can't just say they're a product of their division anymore because that was a real team, those Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas beat Colorado, and I thought Colorado was going to win the whole thing. So a win over them, that's important. That matters. That means something. But, am I going to root for them? For Montreal? I wouldn't root for Montreal against the communist Russia, against the Russian national team. I'd root for them. I'd be out there going, singing in Russian. I mean, really, like I can't imagine rooting for them. So it was a frustrating night all around. Red Sox lose 1-0. Montreal Canadiens are going to the Stanley Cup final, and now I got to look Jim Murray in the face when he walks in here at 2 o'clock. Tough night for me. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. It is a Finish Strong Friday presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong. They're growing and hiring licensed plumbers and HVAC technicians who can finish every job strong. Apply now at call128.com. When we come back, we'll get to your phones and a little bit more on this Red Sox game and the Red Sox in general. Garrett Richards will continue piling on him and what he had to say, and we'll do all that right after this.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
Just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm kind of just learning how to throw a baseball right now with what we got. So it's definitely different than what I've had in the past, obviously. This is all new for me. Like I said, I'm trying to figure it out. And just go out there and compete and give us a chance to win.
You know, McCone, it's too late for this now. We're already too far into it. But, man, wouldn't this whole thing be different? This whole narrative, this whole thing with the spider tech and the foreign substances, if these pitchers, instead of throwing temper tantrums on the mound, which, I mean, my God. We got to see Max Scherzer's package now.
Yeah, just think undressing in the middle
Sergio
of the mound.
Romo,
yeah.
And these guys just, you know, dropping trow right there in front of everybody, having legitimate temper tantrums. And part of me is almost like, all right, like, do we have to check them 4 times in 3 innings? Is that really necessary? Do you have to be constantly checking these guys and looking at, like, that seems a little excessive. But also, don't need to see you guys complaining about it. You're the reason why this is happening in the first place. So shut up and take your medicine. I kind of see both sides of it, not from the pitcher's perspective, from like the fan's perspective. Like, I'm going to this game tonight, Red Sox, Yankees, not bragging, just saying. And if they stop the game every 5 minutes to check on somebody's belt and, you know, look in their hair and look on their hats, it's going to be annoying for me as a viewer. And I feel like the fans deserve at the very least not to have their viewing experience interrupted more and more. We already got these stupid replays, and now we're going to be checking 3-4 times a game? Like, come on.
It is more exciting than replay, I will say that. You know, the possibility of someone, just like you said, dropping trow and freaking out is a little more exciting than watching a tag at second base. But I'm with you. Yeah, it definitely stops the pace of play.
It does. And even if you're really dying to see a little Scherzer there, It's not great. Anyway, Garrett Richards, you just heard him there. He has to learn how to throw again, has to learn how to pitch all over again, because, you know, just throwing without the grip is basically impossible. And I kind of wonder what the next step is here. Like, we already understand that these pitchers are completely lost without the spider tech. We understand that they're all having, you know, mental breakdowns now because they can't grip the ball like they used to. I'm not really surprised by this, because after goalies in hockey, they're number one, but after goalies in hockey, I'd say starting pitchers in Major League Baseball are the most tightly wound lunatics. Like, you break up anything about their daily routine, and they'll go out there, they can't find
just
the plate.
Off the,
like,
reservation.
You remember, like, Mike Messina? Like, no one could even look him in the eye before
during
he would start a game.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson, you didn't speak to him. Like, that's just how it always is. Guy's throwing a no-hitter. No one's allowed to go near him in the dugout, you know? Like, unless it's Nick Pivetta and he's getting pulled out of the game, but that's generally how it goes. Pitchers are just weird people. They're tightly wound. Garrett Richards, I think, is undone. Like, forget about tightly wound. I think he's legitimately come unraveled right in front of our very eyes. And I wonder, I mean, he's not the only one. There's a lot of other pitchers also named Garrett who seem to be having trouble with this. Garrett Cole out there in New York is another one. But, I mean, I hear stuff like, I have to learn how to throw again. The last 9.5 years, I've thrown a certain way. Now I got to change it. It's like, I mean, he's getting paid $10 million. I don't think he's going to retire, but where do you go from here with some of these pitchers?
Yeah, overcoming adversity doesn't seem like a strength right now for Garrett Richards. Not exactly a guy you want to go to war with in the postseason, it feels like. You know what I mean? When times get tough, he just kind of shrivels up here. But you're right, absolutely not. This is not the mindset you're looking for from one of your starting pitchers. Like you said, when you say he's not sure where to go after 9.5 years of pitching anymore, it's not ideal.
No. It's not ideal. And this whole thing, I think, would have been looked at very, very differently if these pitchers had come out and just said, you know, they're changing the rules. I don't like it, but I got to do what I got to do. Got to adapt. Got to figure it out. Instead of, I've pitched the same way you cheated for 9 years, and now I can't cheat anymore. It's unbelievable the way that they do this. Because, like, imagine Bill Belichick after Spygate, right? instead of saying, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't know what you're talking about, get out of my faith, deny, accuse.
Imagine during the steroid era. I've been taking steroids for 6 years.
You expect
and now
me
I
to stop taking steroids?
Come on.
I need to take steroids. How else am I going to hit dingers? Bill Belichick, I have to tape the other team's signals. Otherwise, I'm not going to know their signals. How am I supposed to win a game? I have to deflate the football. If the football's not deflated, what am I supposed to do? At least there, they're like ashamed of the fact that they caught cheating. In baseball, it's like, cheating?
Right. You got to go offense, right? Yeah.
Unbelievable, yeah. These guys. Like, I have to cheat. If I don't cheat, I can't play. And if I can't play, I can't make $10 million. Just try. All right, just try. Give the appearance of someone who can adapt to a tough situation, who can adapt to adversity just a little tiny bit. You know, and at the end, he's like, well, you know, I just got to go from here. But he spent the prior 20 questions crying about the fact that he can't cheat anymore. And it's not just him. Lots of pitchers are doing this. And it's ridiculous. Like, it's really upsetting, I think, as a baseball fan, because that's not just a couple of bratty players being brats. Like, we saw that last year. Who was the guy in the Rockies who was like, you can't tell me not to spit? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
When they're like, well, there's COVID. We don't want people spitting all over each other.
Yeah.
Charlie Blackman, thank you very much, Billy. Yeah, Charlie Blackman's like, well, I'm spitting. You can't tell me not to spit. It's my God-given right as a Colorado Rocky to go out there and spit. Blah. Like, okay, that's how you really feel. Who was the other guy? Blake Snell, he was saying something too about COVID or whatever. I can't remember exactly what he said, but there's a bunch of pampered, spoiled, annoying baseball players out there who say pampered, spoiled, annoying things pretty much every day. But this is a whole nother level of that. I mean, this is my life is ruined. They're destroying me. I mean, it's so melodramatic. And I don't know. I don't know where you go from here. I really don't. I mean, they got a collective bargaining agreement that's up at the end of this year. They got a whole new CBA they got to negotiate. And I don't know if this is going to be a big sticking point. No pun intended. I don't know if this is going to be a big sticking point in the CBA with the Spider Tech and everything else. But they also got salary caps and all these other things they got to work out. And Tony Clark has a real bad relationship. They got beat up last time on the last thing that they did. So I wonder. I mean, we could be hurtling towards a work stoppage right now. You might not have baseball next year. Like, this is pretty messed up.
Well, that's
like,
exactly what the sport needs too, right? Just to shut down like this. Yeah,
absolutely. I'd say it's been way too long since our last baseball shutdown. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones and talk to Randy, who is in the car. Randy, you lead us off. What's up?
Hey, I was just thinking about all the people who bought furniture at Jordan's furniture who must be really upset about that no-hitter last night.
Randy, I got good news. Well, I don't know if it's good news. I have news for you, and this is important. Whether Nick Pivetta pitched a no-hitter last night or not, that will not affect your furniture buying status, because that only counts after August 3rd. It's only if there's a no-hitter thrown in the month of August. I think it's after August 3rd for some reason, not the 1st, but that's the only way that you can get all the furniture. A no-hitter now is just a no-hitter. It doesn't mean anything. It's like a cigar is just a cigar.
I didn't have furniture, but I was just thinking, oh, my gosh, they probably called Jordan's furniture, probably called the dugout last night and said, get them out of there.
That's right. Yeah, they got a direct line like the Kremlin, you know, just right to the dugout
Make the switch.
Alex Cora picks it up, so that's how you do it. But, yeah, I mean, we got a couple of calls about that last night. You know, so I was a no-hitter going, some guy calls in, he goes, what are you doing? Don't talk about the no-hitter. I got like 15 grand in furniture. I was really counting on that this year. Here's a tip out there. I'm probably not the one to be giving this. Here's a tip out there for you. If you're budgeting out your year, and part of your budget includes
don't overextend
getting
based
all
on
your
a no-hitter.
Furniture free from Jordan's because of a no-hitter, especially this year with the whole crackdown on everything, just do the budget over. You know, call a CPA, give it to your wife, somebody who's a little bit better at managing the finances, because I feel like that's a little irresponsible.
Yeah, maybe Jordan's furniture is behind the Spider Tech crackdown.
Could be.
You know?
Certainly could be. Well, there are 7 no-hitters in 2 weeks. I mean, that makes sense.
Shut it down.
I'd agree with that. All right, let's go to JP and MP. What's up?
I can. You're no Kemba Walker. You're doing a back-to-back last night.
That's
today.
Right. Kemba Walker
happened?
Could
the wife
never.
Wants new, you need new furniture for the wife already? It's coming up on a year. You need the extra shifts.
Are you kidding me? Be here all day long, JP, if I'm paying off that debt. What's up?
So listen, Jim Abbott pitched with one arm, never said a word. Put Garrett Richards in the bullpen and say, guess what? You can't pitch six innings. You're a closer. You're a eighth inning guy and see what he says then, and let him throw 10 pitches a game or cut his ass. What a wuss. Stop complaining. How come we had a no-hitter yesterday? I didn't hear anybody complaining with lousy weather. That's just what I sit him down and say, okay, you're going to pitch the eighth inning in a mop-up game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that may be his future. Garrett Richards can't throw curveballs anymore. I mean, it's not me saying this. It's him saying it.
Yeah.
He said, I can't throw a curveball. I didn't throw a curveball. I threw 25 fastballs, and I got lit up in two innings. I didn't even make it out of the second. And that's who I am now. This is my life now. Like, that's basically what he's saying. And, I mean, maybe, yeah, if you can only throw fastballs, where do you generally go? You go to the bullpen, throw some fastballs. That's it. You're not going to throw a curveball. Can he throw a changeup even? Like, can he do that? Can he throw a slider, splitter, anything else? Put him in the bullpen, let him throw fastballs, I guess. You can't be a starting pitcher who only throws fastballs. We all know that. I don't know. I don't know what this is going to mean for him. $10 million mop-up guy is kind of expensive.
It's a little expensive, yeah.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Tim McCone has your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.10:37 here on the Sports Hub. Arcand in for Beetle. We got Tim McCone in for Zoe / Hardy. Playing two roles today.
What's up?
Want my sunglasses? We've been talking about baseball and the pitching situation, Garrett Richards and his caterwauling. I mentioned the Montreal Canadiens, too. One thing that I keep seeing when I'm watching any footage of the spot checks going on in baseball is on Twitter, everybody compares them to a TSA screening,
yeah.
You know, going through the airport, going
no
through
doubt.
The security line, things of that nature. I flew for the first time in about 2 years this past weekend on Friday. Flew out of Logan, out to Denver. It was for a funeral service, unfortunately, which was sad. But it was my first time flying in an awfully long time. And there's some things about the process that maybe you forget if you haven't done it in a while. I remembered the shoes, you know. I remembered put everything up there on the conveyor belt, except one thing I forgot. And I forgot to take my belt off.
Oh.
Now, you know where the belt is. You know what region that's in. So I took the shoes off, got my bags. Everything's up there on the thing, and it's going through. And then you have to go into that little room where you stand like this.
Up. Yep.
Give them the hove, you know, give them the Rockefeller sign. And they take your picture. And what set off that thing? My belt, which is, again, in that region you don't want to be setting things off in. So I step out. They wait for the little thing to pop up on the computer screen. And then you hear the question you never want to hear, and that is, would you like to do this privately? I said, no. I said, I don't want to do it privately. But first I said, what happened? And they're like, are you wearing an exhibitionist, huh? They said, are you wearing a belt, sir? I said, oh, God, yeah, you're right. How about we just put the belt back through and
no,
I'll come in again?
Happen.
No. I had to get the special search. Now, I've seen the special search conducted on other people, and I, just like everybody else, I watch them and I go, ha-ha, idiot. Forgot to take your belt off. What a moron. But I also feel a little bad for him because have you seen what they do with TSA?
I have. Yeah, it's aggressive.
It's aggressive. I got the full Monty, my friend. What they do, first of all, they put on these gloves, and that's, you never want to see that. First, they ask you, do you want to do this in private? I said, no. Whatever you're about to do to me, I want you to do it in front of all these people. I want the world to see. So then, whoosh, the glove goes on. And now they asked me like 10 more questions. They're like, now I'm going to do this. And is that okay with you? And blah, 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 blah. And they have to legally ask all these questions.
We're going to talk you through it.
We're going to talk you through it. They take the back of their hands, not the front, because God forbid. They take the back of their hands. They go up. They go down. They go left. They go right. They go up and diagonal. I mean, it is just, and it goes on for quite some time. And I'm standing there going, oh, my God. You never think that it's going to be you that gets the backwards hand pat down, but it was me.
Billy, what do you think the chances are that the belt was not a mistake by Arcan?
The belt was a mistake. It'd been a long time since I'd flown.
Let's see if they catch this.
Yeah. I just think.
Come on. I think he's seen the pat down before and was like, yeah, you know what? I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I'll give it a try.
He's putting the gloves on. Yeah. Yes. You want to do this
I'll
in
do
private?
No, 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 no,
no,
no,
no, sirree.
I want everyone to see.
Everybody, take a look at this. And so they didn't find anything, obviously, because it was just my belt. But that was tough. That was a tough afternoon, a tough morning, really, for
me. Yeah, that's a tough start.
Having to go through that. But, you know, on the way back, I'll tell you what. On the way back, flying back from Denver to Boston, I basically stripped naked. I was you're not going to get me this
no
time.
No chances, yeah.
I'm standing there, got nothing on. They're
sir,
like,
you can put your
shirt
back
sir.
On. Yeah.
Anyways, just all the TSA stuff made me think of that. It was rough sledding there for a while. But anyway, do you think that these spot checks need to continue like this? Is it going to be like this all year, Tim McCone?
I don't think it's going to be like this. I think it's going to be the first few days you see the pitchers go overly aggressive, like you saw Max Scherzer try to strip on the mound and stuff like that. And then eventually it's going to calm down. I also don't think you're going to see the multiple checks, like you said, throughout the game where you're getting pitchers checked two or three times. I don't see that continuing here. I think it's going to be a lot of what we see kind of in the NFL preseason when there's an emphasis on a rule. And then by week three or four, you kind of forget that that was the situation. So that's what I would expect. I think it would be – it's hard for me to imagine, you know, we're here late August and you've got Max Scherzer trying to strip on the mound yet again. Like, I don't see that happening.
Well, fingers crossed, yeah. I kind of wonder about that too. Like, are we going to be in the World Series, you know?
Right.
And the manager and the umpires are coming out checking the guy every two innings in the World Series. Like, is that going to happen?
I mean, if you're an opposing manager and you're going up against Garrett Richards in the World Series, though, isn't that the move?
Absolutely.
After you've seen just how just unhinged he becomes with all this stuff.
It's the World Series. I'm checking every single pitcher.
Yeah.
Every pitcher comes out, check that guy.
Yeah.
Check his hair. Check his belt. Give him the backwards hand thing. Give him the old back of the hand.
Wear your gloves. Throw the gloves on. Yeah.
Whatever I can to get in the guy's head, of course, if it's not against the rules, right? It's not against the rules to excessively check somebody for a foreign substance. And I guess, like, the umpires get two and the manager only gets one, so I think it's, like, three at the most. But is that per pitcher? Like, a new pitcher comes in, you check him.
Reset, yeah.
Yeah, I want to check him. I think he's doing something. Let's check everybody. And I just sort of feel like that's unsustainable, isn't it? Like, you can't do that all year long. And if you stop doing it midway through, I already started it midway through the year, but if you stop doing it in, like, August or something, or in September, then what the hell did you do it for in the first place? Like, what was the point of all this? Right. Now you're just going to go back to putting spider tech on for the playoffs? Like, that sucks. No one really wants to see that. So I think that baseball, their heart's in the right place with all of this, I think. Their heart's in the right place trying to get this out of the game and trying to make things a little bit more fair. I understand that. But why are you doing it in the middle of the year? Why'd you wait until June? Why not start this at the beginning? And I understand there was this big Sports Illustrated article and they couldn't necessarily ignore it, but you're going to crack down really hard like this right in June. Like, I'm not saying I think the pitchers are right or that, you know, we should feel bad for the pitchers, but just anything like this that's this disorganized and this kind of, you know, half-ass slapped together, like, okay, now we're just going to check everybody multiple times a game. Like, okay, I guess. Like, we checked people before, but never to this extent. And now managers are using it as, like, a weapon, and I just feel like this is stupid. Like, this was a stupid thing. It's Rob Manfred's Major League Baseball. It's always, even when their heart's in the right place, it's always just a little stupid.
Yeah, the execution has not been great, and that's kind of been a theme throughout Manfred's time as commissioner.
Yeah, it's been a major problem. 617-779-0985. That is the phone number. Let's go to Hugh in Easton.
Hello, I want to talk about Chris Sale. Is Chris Sale going to pitch this year?
Is Chris Sale going to pitch this year, Hugh? I think he is, but I don't know exactly where he is in terms of his in terms of where he's come along. If you want to look that up, McCone. Last I heard, he was throwing off a mound this week in Double A. I think that was on Tuesday. And on Saturday, that's tomorrow, he's supposed to throw to live hitters. I believe that's where things stand right now. If he's throwing the live hitters in Double A right now on June 26th or whatever it is tomorrow, then I think he's probably going to get out there at some point. Like, I remember when he first came back and said, I'm ready to pitch today. I'm ready to go. Let's do this. Let's do it. Everyone was like, that's great, Chris, but if this was a normal offseason, you'd be at, like, January right now in terms of your rehab, in terms of coming along. And listen, I think this team needs Chris Sale. I really do. I think he's probably one of their, one of their toughest pitchers in terms of mentality and sort of, you know, you're not going to hear him after a game crying like Garrett Richards. At least Chris Sale, he looks like, you know, stick man, but he does go out there and he competes and he's a bulldog and he has that mentality and everything. And I think that would be a good thing to inject into this rotation. Absolutely. But is it going to happen? I think if it does, it's going to be late August, early September. And maybe in September when they do all the call-ups, they'll throw him out there and see how he looks. And I don't know if that means he's going to pitch into the playoffs or whatever happens after that. But I would imagine that you'll see him this year. I'd imagine you'll see him this year. And they could really use him.
Yeah, so he's going to have a rehab assignment, it looks like, in Portland from July 6th to the 11th. It looks like there's a homestand there. So that's kind of the target date. But to your point, I'm not sure what the expectations for Sale this year. I feel like him, you know, being a kind of bulldog starting pitcher is not something that you can expect coming off of Tommy John this season.
Yeah, at least he'll have the mentality. I don't know if he'll have the arm strength or the location or, you know, lack of spider tech. That might bother him too. Who knows? But we'll see. But I definitely think you'll see him at some point this year unless there's a setback. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. More on this and the Red Sox right after this.
Sola and Bertrand. Midday. 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub. RK and McCone in for the guys today here on this Getaway Friday. Getting some pushback on Twitter about my no-hitter take. Pulling Nick Pivetta mid-no-hitter. Jay Stu just tweeted something. It wasn't in response to me, but just said that he agrees with Alex Cora. Should have been a no-brainer, that the no-hitter is an individual accomplishment, and this is about the team and everything else, and that's what should count. Okay, I understand that line of thinking to an extent, but also it wasn't really even about the no-hitter for me. Like, it was in the middle of a no-hitter. I don't care if he finished the no-hitter or not. What annoys me about it is that you pulled the guy right at 100 pitches. So no matter how well he's pitching, no matter what's going on, he hasn't allowed a single hit yet, and he didn't allow a hit in that inning either. That should have been a 1-2-3 inning. There was an error there by Michael Chavis at first base, so he should have gotten out of that inning cleanly, but he didn't. And I sort of look at that and think, okay, so you don't want to be beholden to the no hitter, but you're going to be beholden to the 100 pitch count. Like, that's, you're going to go with that no matter what, no matter how good the guy looks, no matter how well he's throwing. That's more important than a no-hitter. And I understand, like, yeah, maybe he wouldn't have finished it, and I don't really care about him finishing the no-hitter. It's just in that particular spot right there, and Taylor got the out, so maybe this is all just me howling at the moon, but in that particular spot, you're pulling him not because you think he's not pitching well or because you think he's spent or he's done or anything else. It's because he got to the magic number of 100 pitches, or he went to the magic, you know, third time through the batting order or something along those lines, and all your stats and everything tell you that's when you got to take the guy out. Well, if he's throwing a no-hitter, maybe you could give him one more batter. Maybe you could give him one more inning. Maybe you could see if Nick Pivetta wants to gut this one out and keep going, which he didn't end up doing. They took him out, and, you know, Taylor comes in, gets the last out. They didn't get a hit until the next inning. I think it was the eighth inning when I think it was Ottavino gave up that double to Kiermaier. So maybe it's a moot point. But I feel like being beholden to a no-hitter and a guy's individual accomplishment, I understand, isn't something that a team should do if they're trying to win. But maybe they also shouldn't be so beholden to the 100-pitch thing. You know, like, is that really necessary? Like, is 100 some magic number? Is the third time through the order this magical thing? And the numbers may bear it out. But, you know, the numbers also bear out that if a guy's throwing a no-hitter, he's probably okay to leave in another batter.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, too. So the outlier there is that, you know, obviously he's throwing a no-hitter. So this is a unique situation.
Right.
So I'm with you. I think you throw out the 100 pitches. You throw out the three times through the order in that type of situation. And you know what? I actually do like individual accomplishments in sports, especially during regular season games. So I would have liked to see him stay in.
Yeah, I would have liked to as well. And Pivetta, after the game, he didn't cry, he didn't complain. He said, I would have liked to stay out there, but I do what my manager says, and that's fine. And, you know, I mean, compared to the other pitchers on this roster, compared to everybody named Garrett who pitches in the entire major leagues, he sounds like Nolan Ryan out there by comparison. He's not crying about it. He's not making excuses. He's not, you know, boo-hoo, woe is me. It could have had my no-hitter. You know, it's just, you wonder, like, these guys talking about how they can't pitch anymore. It makes me think of guys like Randy Johnson and, you know, even though I don't like him, Curt Schilling and Pedro and Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan and all these guys and just that attitude that they had. Even John Lester and Clemens and, you know, these great pitchers of our day, they had that attitude. They had that little bit of extra, I'm going to get you out, and I don't care. Max Scherzer had it. Max Scherzer got checked 3 times in 4 innings. He still threw 100-and-something pitches and made it through 5-6 innings, and he ended up, I think, getting the win in that game. So it's like, you can still do it. You can still pitch. You don't have to make a big spectacle out of yourself, but with some of these guys, they just can't help it. With Pivetta, though, Pivetta, I think, should have at least been able to finish that inning. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-0985 is the number. Ken is in the car. Hi, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it.
So I'm calling in. I'm thinking about Tanner Houck. I understand he was hurt, but he should be called up to the roster sooner than later to replace Garrett Richards. I mean, I can't see the Red Sox paying a guy out of the bullpen $10 million, but the guy just doesn't have it. He didn't have it early on in the season, and then he changed his form or whatever he was doing. He pitched a little bit better.
Changed his form. that's what it was. Changed the old form. We were sort of joking about that, about Richards going to the bullpen, but you don't want to DFA him and eat that $10 million. You don't want to send him down to Worcester or anything, even though him and Franchi, that'd be a formidable duo down there at over in Worcester. But I don't know. I mean, what do? You put him in the bullpen? I think you kind of have to if he keeps pitching like this. You don't want a $10 million long reliever, but it's better than a $10 million minor leaguer, isn't it?
A sports psychologist, right? I mean, I think you're going to roll one of those out because a lot of this is psychological. Like, and I'll be honest with you, like, just the way that he's kind of shutting down after this whole situation is, I mean, it's bizarre. It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. And I didn't have any preconceived notions about Garrett Richards before he got here. I know some people didn't like him already before he even showed up. I was ready to be surprised, you know. I know he had a couple of good years there in Anaheim and a couple of tough ones, and he had the injury problems and everything else. I didn't go into this thinking anything about him, but it's tough not to view him a certain way after all this.
Don't forget, in the beginning of the season, when Garrett Richards was talking about the jacket and how cold it was, too. So not exactly a gamer and someone that's going to grit through some adversity here.
Right. 617-779-0985. That's your phone number. Tanner Houck, the caller mentioned Tanner Houck, and I did want to talk about him for a second because at some point, I mean, they're getting Chris Sale back, maybe, and we don't know if he's going to be full-strength Chris Sale, but they do have this kid down in the minors who is injured as well in Tanner Houck, and I think that at some point, they got to start calling these guys up. Like, Duran is tearing the cover off the ball down there in the minor leagues. They don't call him up. Instead, they bring in the Santana kid, who's somehow worse at hitting leadoff than Kike Hernandez, who's hitting like 230 this year. You got Santana up there hitting like 130. And I just sort of wonder, like, all right, you got these good young players. And as much as I like what Chaim Bloom's doing, I sort of feel like, are they still in this Tampa Bay mindset where you got to protect your young players and you can't call them up and you got to make sure they develop and, you know, under no circumstances can we allow these guys to pitch too many innings or do too much stuff. And with someone like Tanner Houck, I kind of get it because you don't want to burn him out. But also, like, I remember it wasn't that long ago and it's even still going on now. You can protect these guys all you want. You can protect all these pitchers, these young pitchers. The Red Sox did it with Lester. They did it with Clay Buchholz. I remember Tim Lincecum and, you know, Madison Bumgarner, all these other guys getting put on these strict innings limits. Steven Strasburg. Like, this happened all the time. And what happened? They all still got injured. They all still got Tommy John surgery. And it was a total giant waste of time. So let's see what these guys have. And if they throw too much and they need surgery, give them the surgery. They'll take the year out of their career they're going to have to take anyway, because every single pitcher in the league gets Tommy John surgery now at some point. So let's just see what we have. Let's put him out. Don't put him out there if he's hurt, obviously. Tanner Houck's hurt. But I just don't like this idea that we can't take a look at these young players now because it's a pennant race and, you know, this is the way it is. No. Let's see what you have. It's not like you're flush with young talent anyway. Put them out there. Let's see what you got. I'd really like to see that. I think that would be a nice derivation from the way things were in Tampa Bay, certainly for Chaim Bloom. And you can start thinking a little bit more big market, a little bit more big picture. Because, it's nice to rebuild the farm system. And I think that was part of Chaim Bloom's job. But at some point, you got to start thinking about, okay, I've made some signings here that haven't worked. We're going to have to start looking elsewhere. Let's look internally and let's see what some of these kids have. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We have 90 seconds here. No commercials. Tim McCone has your headlines. And when we come back, we'll talk Celtics. Boston Celtics have a new head coach. Not sure if you heard. We'll dive into that right after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.